72nd word for word show. Now that doesn't count the reruns, that's new shows. We're in the book of Judith, which in Hebrew would be Yahudith, which means a female of the tribe of Yahuda, those who praise Yah. But they have it as Judah. There is no J in Hebrew, and wasn't in English till recent history. But I'm not going to Hebrewize all of this. It's in the Greek, and I'm going to read it as it is, except for where they have the Lord in place of Yahweh's name. And I will put Yahweh into it, because it's very much in error when they have the Lord. So let's get started. We're going to be in chapter 12. We're going to do 12 through 16 today, and that will finish the book of Judith. And then on Monday I will start in the Wisdom of Solomon. We're going through the Apocrypha now. And there's a lot of good material here. I'm not going to do Second Esdras because Pastor Greg Howard and Pastor Eli and I have really dissected Second Esdras, and I don't think we can really top that. We really go into it in detail, so I'll refer to those files when we get around 2nd Esdras. Let's get started here with chapter 12 of the book of Judith. I'm going to move a little closer so I can see a little bit better. I have my very close-in reading glasses on, and the print in this Apocrypha is a little bit small for me. It's about number 14 or 15, and it's not too easy to read. And this is the story about Judith as a guest of Holofernes. All of this is historical in nature, but it has the works of Yahweh in it, so we will see what transpires here. Verse 1, then he commanded them to bring her in where his silver dinnerware was kept, and ordered them to set a table for her with some of his own delicacies and with some of his own wine to drink. But Judith said, I cannot partake of them, or it will be an offense, but I will have enough with the things I brought with me. In other words, this was unclean food. Okay? He ate things that Israel was commanded not to eat. Holofernes said to her, "If your supply runs out, where can we get you more of the same? For none of your people are here with us." Judas replied, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I have with me before Yahweh carries out by my hand." Wait a minute. "As surely," I told you this print is small. "As surely as you live, my Lord, your servant will not use up the supplies I have with me before Yahweh carries out by my hand what he has determined." Okay? This print is small. And I have my reading glasses on, and I'm still having a little trouble with it. So let's go. Verse 5. "Then the servants of Holofernes brought her into the tent, and she slept until midnight. Toward the morning, which she got up and sent this message to Holofernes: 'Let my lord now give orders to allow your servant to go out and pray.' So Holofernes commanded his guards not to hinder her. She remained in the camp 3 days. She went out each night to the valley of Betulia and bathed at the spring in the camp. After bathing, she prayed to Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, to direct her way for the triumph of his people," or her people. There are two versions of this, actually, has his or her. "Then she returned, purified, and stayed in the tent until she ate her food toward evening." And now we have Judith going to attend a banquet thrown by Holofernes. Verse 10, "On the fourth day, Holofernes held a banquet for his personal attendants only and did not invite any of his officers. He said to Bagoas, the eunuch who had charge of his personal affairs, 'Go and persuade the Hebrew woman who is in your care to join us and to eat and drink with us. For it would be a disgrace if we let such a woman go without having intercourse with her. If we do not seduce her, she will laugh at us.'" Wow. This guy's something else. I mean, that's what it says in the scripture, okay? I know it might be offensive, but that's what it says. That's what's on his mind. Verse 13. "So Bagoas left the presence of Holofernes and approached her and said, 'Let this pretty girl not hesitate to come to my lord to be honored in his presence and to enjoy drinking wine with us, and to become today like one of the Assyrian women who serve in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar.'" Verse 14, "Judith replied, 'Who am I to refuse my lord? Whatever pleases him, I will do at once, and it will be a joy to me until the day of my death.'" Boy, she's shining this guy on. She's really laying it on thick. This is a righteous woman we're talking about. She's not going to go and be some little camp chippy for his pleasure. Verse 15, "So she proceeded to dress herself in all her woman's finery. Her maid went ahead and spread for her on the ground before Holofernes the lambskins she had received from Bagoas for her daily use in reclining. Verse 16, then Judith came in and lay down. Holofernes' heart was ravished with her, and his passion was aroused, for he had been waiting for an opportunity to seduce her from the day he first saw her. So Holofernes said to her, have a drink and be merry with us. Judith said, I will gladly drink, my lord, because today is the greatest day in my whole life. Of course, he didn't understand what she was talking about. It's going to be a great day for her, but it's not going to be too good for him. Then she took what her maid had prepared and ate and drank before him. Holofernes was greatly pleased with her and drank a great quantity of wine, much more than he ever drunk in any one day since he was born. And that ends chapter 12. So here we go. Chapter 13. I'm not going to read the title. It'll give it away. I'm going to just slip it in here. You'll enjoy this. Verse 1 of chapter 13. When evening came, his slaves quickly withdrew. But Goas closed the tent from the outside and shut out the attendants from his master's presence. They went to bed, for they were all weary because the banquet had lasted so long. But Judith was left alone in the tent with Holofernes stretched out on his bed, for he was dead drunk. Verse 3. What I'm going to do is announce the verse numbers when they're a paragraph number. Okay. Now, Judith had told her maid to stand outside the bedchamber and to wait for her to come out, as she did on the other days, for she said she would be going out for her prayers. She had said the same thing to Bagoas. So everyone went out, and no one, either small or great, was left in the bedchamber. Then Judith, standing beside his bed, said in her heart, O Yahweh Elohim of all might, look in this hour on the work of my hands for the exaltation of Yerushalayim. Now indeed is the time to help your heritage and to carry out my design to destroy the enemies who have risen up against us. Verse 6. She went up to the bedpost near Holofernes' head and took down his sword that hung there. She came close to his bed, took hold of the hair of his head, and said, Give me strength today, O Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Then she struck his neck twice with all her might and cut off his head. Then next she rolled his body off the bed and pulled down the canopy from the posts. Soon afterwards she went out and gave Holofernes' head to her maid, who placed it in her food bag. She whacked a guy, okay? Then the two of them went out together as they were accustomed to do for prayer. She had set a precedent, in other words. Oh, I go out to pray every night. This is my time to go pray. They passed through the camp, circled around the valley, and went up the mountain to Betulia and came to its gates. From a distance, Judith called out to the sentries at the gate, "Open, open the gate. Elohim, our Elohim, is with us, still showing his power in Israel and his strength against our enemies as he has done today." She gave glory to Yahweh for this. Okay, that's a righteous woman. Verse 12, when the people of her town heard her voice, they hurried down to the town gate and summoned the elders of the town. They all ran together, both small and great, for it seemed unbelievable that she had returned. They opened the gate and welcomed them. Then they lit a fire to give light and gathered around them. Then she said to them with a loud voice, "Praise Elohim! Oh, praise him! Praise Elohim, who has not withdrawn his mercy from the house of Israel, but has destroyed our enemies by my hand this very night." Verse 15. Then she pulled the head out of the bag and showed it to them, and said, "See here the head of Holofernes, the commander of the Assyrian army, and here is the canopy beneath which he lay in his drunken stupor. Yahweh has struck him down by the hand of a woman. As Yahweh lives, who has protected me in the way I went, I swear that it was my face that seduced him to his destruction, and that he committed no sin with me to defile and shame me." Amen and amen, sister. Verse 17. All the people were greatly astonished. They bowed down and worshipped Elohim and said with one accord, "Blessed are you, our Elohim, who have this day humiliated the enemies of your people." Verse 18. Then Uzziah said to her, "O daughter, you are blessed by the Most High Elohim above all other women on earth. And blessed be Yahweh Elohim, who has created the heavens and the earth, who has guided you to cut off the head of the leader of our enemies. Your praise will never depart from the hearts of those who remember the power of Elohim. May Elohim," I have to turn the page, "grant this to be a perpetual honor to you. And may he reward you with blessings because you risk your own life when our nation was brought low. And you averted our ruin, walking in the straight path before our Elohim." And all the people said, "Amen, amen." And that means, so be it, so be it. Okay. So she fooled this Holofernes character and wound up cutting his head off. Now we begin verse 14. Then Judah said to them, "Listen to me, my friends. Take this head and hang it upon the parapet of your wall. As soon as day breaks and the sun rises upon the earth, each of you take up your weapons and let every able-bodied man go out of the town. Set a captain over them as if you were going down to the plain against the Assyrian army outpost. Only do not go down. Then they will seize their arms and go into the camp and rouse the officers of the Assyrian army. They will rush into the tent of Holofernes and will not find him. Then panic will come over them and they will flee before you. Then you and all who live within the borders of Israel will pursue them and cut them down in their tracks. But before you do all this, bring Achior the Ammonite to me so that he may see and recognize the man who despised the house of Israel and sent him to us as if to his death." Verse 6 of chapter 14. So they summoned Achior from the house of Uzziah. When he came and saw the head of Holofernes in the hand of one of the men in the assembly of the people, he fell down on his face in a faint. When they raised him up, he threw himself at Judith's feet and did obeisance to her and said, "Blessed are you in every tent of Yehudah. In every nation, those who hear your name will be alarmed." That means the non-Israel nations he's talking about. They'll be afraid of Israel again. "Now tell me what you have done during these days." So Judith told him in the presence of the people all that she had done, from the day she left until the moment she began speaking to them. When she had finished, the people raised a great shout and made a joyful noise in their town. When Achior saw all that the Elohim of Israel had done, he believed firmly in Elohim. So he was circumcised and joined the house of Israel, remaining so to this day. Now, there could be a problem with that. Okay. But that's what went on. Verse 11, as soon as it was dawn, they hung the head of Holofernes on the wall. Then they all took out their weapons, and they went down in companies to the mountain passes. When the Assyrians saw them, they sent word to their commanders, who then went to the generals and the captains and to all their other officers. They came to Holofernes' tent and said to the steward in charge of all his personal affairs, "Wake up, our lord, for the slaves have been so bold as to come down against us to give battle to their utter destruction." Verse 14. So Bagoas went in and knocked at the entry of the tent, for he supposed that he was sleeping with Judith. But when no one answered, he opened it and went into the bedchamber and found him sprawled on the floor dead, with his head missing. He cried out with a loud voice and wept and groaned and shouted and tore his clothes. Then he went to the tent where Judith had stayed. When he did not find her, he rushed out to the people and shouted, "The slaves have tricked us. One Hebrew woman has brought disgrace on the house of King Nebuchadnezzar. Look, Holofernes is lying on the ground and his head is missing." Chop, chop. Verse 19, when the leaders of the Assyrian army heard this, they tore their tunics and were greatly dismayed, and their loud cries and shouts rose up throughout the camp. And that ends chapter 14. So now we're going to get into chapter 15. When the men in the tents heard it, they were amazed at what had happened. Well, I guess so. I mean, they come in, this guy had just conquered everybody. He was their top general of their king. And he thinks he's going to take this Hebrew babe in his tent and fool around. Okay, well, she's a righteous woman. That's not going to happen. And what happened to him? He got whacked. So this woman killed him. And that, you know, being killed by a woman is a great disgrace. Back in that day, that was just terrible. Verse 2, overcome with fear and trembling, they did not wait for one another, but with one impulse, all rushed out and fled by every path across the plain and through the hill country. Now you have to understand, Yahweh put the fear in them. Now, the death sparked it, but Yahweh was the one that made them afraid. He instilled fear in their heart. They had mocked, and Nebuchadnezzar, their big king, he had mocked Yahweh. He said, "I am this, and I am that, and oh this, and oh that." This goes back on their king. Verse 3. Those who had camped in the hills around Betulia also took to flight. Then the Israelites, every one that was a soldier, rushed out upon them. Uzziah sent men to Betomastaim. And they also have in a different version, and Bibai, okay, and Koba and Kola, and to all the frontiers of Israel to tell what had taken place and to urge all to rush out upon the enemy to destroy them. In other words, the word went out, time to fight. Well, it's going to be time to fight for us. And the word's going to go out. When Yahweh does another miracle for us today, and don't doubt that he will, it's going to be that time. When the Israelites heard it, with one accord, they fell upon the enemy, or them, and cut them down as far as Koba. Those in Jerusalem and all the hill country also came, for they were told what had happened in the camp of the enemy. The men in Gilead and in Galilee outflanked them with great slaughter. In other words, they really put it on them, even beyond Damascus and its borders. The rest of the people of Bethulia fell upon the Assyrian camp and plundered it, acquiring great riches. Okay, it happened to the camp of the Philistines earlier in history. Same deal. Yahweh put his hand in. Whoa, you know, what do you expect from the Almighty Elohim? And the Israelites, when they returned from the slaughter, took possession of what remained. Even the villages and town in the hill country and the plain got a great amount of booty, since there was a vast quantity of it. All the riches, all the food, they'd been starving, they had no water. Now look what happened. Now they got all the stuff that belonged to the enemy. My. Verse 8 of chapter 15. Then the high priest Joachim and the elders of the Israelites who lived in Jerusalem came to witness the good things that Yahweh had done for Israel, and to see Judith and to wish her well. When they met her, they all blessed her with one accord and said to her, "You are the glory of Jerusalem. You are the great boast of Israel. You are the great pride of our nation. You have done all this with your own hand. You have done great good to Israel, and Elohim is well pleased with it. May the Almighty Yahweh bless you forever." And all the people said, "Amen." Well, that's nice, okay? But it was Yahweh's hand that gave her the strength to do that. It was sincere prayer that brought this about. This righteous woman prayed, and Yahweh heard. So don't say he does not answer prayer. He does. He's answered prayer in my life. I'll testify to that. Verse 11. All the people plundered the camp for 30 days. They gave Judith the tent of Holofernes, and all his silver dinnerware, his beds, his bowls, and all furniture. She took them and loaded her mules and hitched up her carts and piled the things on them. Verse 12 of chapter 15. All the women of Israel gathered to see her and blessed her, and some of them performed a dance in her honor. That was a big deal, okay? She took ivy-wreathed wands in her hands and distributed them to the women who were with her. And she and those who were with her crowned themselves with olive wreaths. She went before all the people in the dance, leading all the women, while all the men of Israel followed, bearing their arms and wearing garlands and singing hymns. Big celebration. And she did it right. She told them this was Yahweh that did this. Well, that ends chapter 15. Now we're going to go into chapter 16, which is the final chapter of this book. This is Judith offering her hymn of praise. And this is what she said. I need to highlight something here. Judith began this Thanksgiving before all Israel, and all the people loudly sang this song of praise. And Judith said, now how they did this was, she would sing a verse. The people would repeat the verse, all singing. And she'd do another verse. And then they'd repeat the verse. It was responsive prayer. Begin a song to my Elohim with tambourines. Sing to Yahweh with cymbals. Raise to him a new psalm. A psalm in praise. Okay, they usually go together. That's what it usually says in the Hebrew. Exalt him and call upon his name. Okay, calling upon the holy name. Very, very important. Very important. Verse 2, for Yahweh is an Elohim who crushes wars. He sets up his camp among the people. He delivered me from the hands of my pursuers. Get a little drink of coffee here. The Syrians came down from the mountains of the north. Or the Assyrian, pardon me, singular, came down from the mountains of the north. He came with myriads of his warriors. Their numbers blocked up the wadis, and their cavalry covered the hills. Now, this is a tough read because this print is so small. He boasted that he would burn up my territory and kill my young men with a sword and dash my infants to the ground and seize my children as booty and take my virgins as spoil. She's singing this as Israel. Okay? As Israel. Not personally. She's singing this like this was Israel, the nation, singing it. But Yahweh Almighty has foiled them by the hand of a woman. Other readings of this says he has confounded them. For their mighty one did not fall by the hands of the young men, nor did the sons of the Titans strike him down. Now that's Greek mythology. Remember, this is in Greek. Nor did tall giants set upon him. But Judith, daughter of Merari, with the beauty of her countenance, undid him. This is the story of what happened. For she put away her widow's clothing to exalt the oppressed in Israel. She anointed her face with perfume. She fastened her hair with a tiara and put on a linen gown to beguile him. Her sandal ravished his eyes. Her beauty captivated his mind. and the sword severed his neck. The Persians trembled at her boldness. The Medes were daunted at her daring. Then my oppressed people shouted, my weak people cried out, and the enemy trembled. Okay. They lifted up their voices, and the enemy were turned back, or they were turned back. Sons of slave girls pierced them through and wounded them like the children of fugitives. They perished before the army of my Lord. Okay, now that's a title given. It'd be Adonai. Okay. Verse 13. I will sing to my Elohim a new song. Oh, Yahweh, you are great and glorious, wonderful in strength, invincible. Let all your creatures serve you, for you spoke and they were made. You sent forth your spirit or breath, the Ruach, okay, the holy breath, and it formed them. Other authorities have they were created. There's several versions of this. There is none that can resist your voice. For the mountains shall be shaken to their foundations with the waters. Before your glance the rocks shall melt like wax. But to those who fear you, you show mercy or revere. The word fear is synonymous with reverence. For every sacrifice as a fragrant offering is a small thing. And the fat of all whole burnt offerings to you is a very little thing. But whoever fears Yahweh is great forever. Woe to the nations that rise up against my people. Yahweh Almighty will take vengeance on them in the day of judgment. He will send fire and worms into their flesh, and they shall weep in pain forever. That's her prayer, and that's magnificent. So they all responded each verse. Verse 18 of chapter 16. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they worshipped Elohim. As soon as the people were purified, they offered their burnt offerings, their freewill offerings, and their gifts. Judith also dedicated to God, or Elohim, all the possessions of Holofernes, which the people had given her, and the canopy that she had taken for herself from his bedchamber she gave as a votive offering. For 3 months the people continued feasting in Jerusalem before the sanctuary, and Judith remained with them. Big party. Big. And this is the renown and death of Judith. This is sort of a eulogy. later on. Verse 21. After this, they all returned home to their own inheritances. Judith went to Bethulia and remained on her estate. For the rest of her life, she was honored throughout the whole country. Many desired to marry her, but she gave herself to no man all the days of her life after her husband Manasseh died and was gathered to his people. Now that is a righteous woman. She honored him. Even though she could have married as a widow, she didn't do it. She became more and more famous and grew old in her husband's house, reaching the age of 105. She set her maid free. In other words, no longer a bondservant. She died in Bethulia, and they buried her in the cave of her husband, Manasseh, and the house of Israel mourned her for 7 days. Before she died, she distributed her property to all those who were next of kin to her husband, Manasseh, and to her own nearest kindred. That's the law. She obeyed the law of Yahweh. No one ever again spread terror among the Israelites during the lifetime of Judith, or for a long time after her death. Now here on verse 16 of chapter 16, you can reference 1 Samuel 15:22. That's, for every sacrifice is a fragrant offering, is a small thing, and the fat of the all whole burnt offerings is to you a very little thing. But whoever fears Yahweh is great forever. 1 Samuel 15:22, Psalms 51, verses 16 and 17, and Hosea 6, verse 6. And that ends the book of Judith. I think it was a really nice read. Has a lot of instruction as to how we are to behave. We are not to lay down in fear before wicked enemies like we face today, okay? We're facing some pretty stiff opposition. We know this. We see it. We hear it. We see the news, the fake news and the real news. Hard to tell the difference with all the craziness going on. But the remnant, pretty much, a lot of which are listeners to my shows, and the enemy listens to. Oh yeah, they hate me with an undying hatred. That's good. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's an honor to be hated by them. All Yahweh's servants are hated by the enemy. So that's nice. But that was a little historical account of one of the battles in between the testaments, okay? We're going to be picking up the Wisdom of Solomon on the 23rd of April. That would be Monday. I don't know how much I will do each day. I'm going to read, you know, it will vary show to show. There are 19 chapters. The chapters are not long. They're fairly short. So it won't be a real long group of shows. But there's a lot of exhortation in there, and a lot of teachings, a lot of quotes, a lot of wisdom. That's why they call it the Wisdom of Solomon, Shlomo, okay? And it's also going to be a good read. And after Solomon, we will be getting into the book of Sirach. Now, Sirach is a big book compared to, it's also called Ecclesiasticus, or the Wisdom of Jesus, son of Sirach. Now it's in the Greek, and they would use the name Jesus, where we get Jesus, okay? So it would be Jesus. It would not be Yeshua. Now the name of the Messiah is Yeshua. But in the book of Sirach, there are 51 chapters. They have Greek, but they also have in this verses that are in the Hebrew. It was written in Hebrew, but it was translated into Greek. So there's 51 chapters. This is the Sirach will be a long read. And after that, well, let me look at my log here and see what I have planned. I want to give you a heads up on what's coming. I don't have anything listed after Sirach. I've got Baruch. I've got the letter of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. I have Azariah, the book of Susanna. Bel and the Dragon. These are little bitty things. Now, then we get into the Maccabees. I'm not going to do Maccabees because Eli wants to do that with me. So I'm going to leave the Maccabees alone. Now, I will do 1st Esdras, but 2nd Esdras we're already doing with Eli and Greg Howard and myself. So that will be the lineup for the rest of the Apocrypha. Then I will get into the New Covenant, and that's going to be marvelous. So I'm coming down the end of the time here. I'm going to do another little thing of music, and then I will segue out with Onward Christian Soldiers. So, here we go. Oh, my brother,
Did you hear me say? Better get